this real life?
Hey there, citizens of the world. Welcome to the Real Life Podcast, where our mission is to inspire, connect, and empower the world to learn English the fun, natural, and real life way.
We believe that English should not be a dry and boring school subject, but an inspiring and enriching lifestyle that you can practice and enjoy whenever and wherever you want.
In this podcast, you will have lots of fun, learn plenty of new expressions, and drastically improve your listening comprehension.
We'll also teach you the secrets of native pronunciation, connected speech, and help you tune in your listening and speaking to the rhythm and flow of English.
So sit back, relax, and let's get on with the show.
Aw yeah, what's up ladies and gentlemen? This is Chad from Real Life English, where we believe that listening to podcasts is a fun, natural, effective, convenient, and...
crackerjack?
Way to learn English. So download this podcast now and listen to us while you're...
watching a baseball game.
Playing some touch football.
Getting a hole in one.
Rounding third base, heading for home.
Throwing a ball in the gutter.
Or bowling someone out in cricket. I'm joined here today in the studio with the man, the mysterious Mr. Vocabulary, Ethan. What is up, man?
Not much. Just mourning the loss of Justin's football team.
Mourning the loss? Like, you mean like good morning?
No, I mean mourning as in it's just dealing with some sadness.
Okay. Let's hear about that a little bit more in a minute. But let me not forget to introduce the man who recently hired Chuck Norris as his caddy, Justin Murray.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
So Chuck, you went to get me a cup of coffee.
Okay, what's a caddy, by the way? Why did you hire Chuck Norris as your caddy?
Well, a caddy is, when you're a golfer, the person who helps you, who carries your bags.
Yeah, generally kind of someone who's not really, you know, it's not a very good job, is it?
It's like a teenager usually, isn't it?
It's kind of demeaning. Carrying someone else's golf clubs around all day.
But when you're a pro and you have a caddy, it's actually pretty good to be a caddy of a professional player.
Okay. Why, did you get paid some big bucks?
I think so, and I guess you have to have a lot of skill.
Okay, you have to really know how to carry that bag.
Well, you also give advice to the golfer about which way to hit it, which way the wind is blowing.
Okay.
You're sort of like an advisor.
Okay. And what kind of advice does Chuck give you?
How to karate chop things and...
okay, cool. You karate chopped anything today?
I saw Justin breaking a board over his head earlier.
Did you? Okay. Did Chuck tell you how to do that?
He did. He instructed me.
Okay.
Did you do it on the first try?
Second try, actually.
Okay. Okay. Good on ya.
Good on ya, mate. And going back to mourning the loss of Justin's team, would you like to fill us in on those details, Ethan?
I think Justin would be the best person to do that. Okay. Seattle Seahawks.
Okay, Justin, what happened there?
Okay, well, I'm not really that big of a fan anymore. You know, last week I was a fair weather fan.
Fair weathered fan, what does that mean?
A fair weather fan is when your team is playing well, so you cheer for them, you root for them when they're playing well.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But then when they're not playing well, you don't. So I'm not a fan anymore right now because my team, the Seahawks, they lost in the Super Bowl.
Damn, who won?
The New England Patriots.
Okay, I understand pretty much nothing about American football, so it doesn't mean jack to me.
Well, maybe we can enlighten you a little bit today.
Okay, I hope so.
And what the deuce is cricket?
What the what?
What the deuce is cricket?
What the deuce?
Yeah.
What the deuce? Is that an expression?
It's an expression. Okay. You ever heard that?
So like,
it's
what, like, the hell?
What the hell?
Okay. Cricket is technically an English sport, but it's very common in Australia, New Zealand, I think like South Africa, any country that's part of the Commonwealth plays cricket.
Mm-hmm.
It's because we're better than everyone else.
You wish.
West Indies, I think, have a strong team. India. Anyway, so as you may have already guessed, today's episode is going to be focused a lot on sport. Specifically, what sport do you think we're going to talk about?
Baseball.
Okay. This is going to be a ripper of an episode, so let's just jump straight into it and let's read out today's shoutouts. You know you make me wanna shout, kick my heels up and shout, throw my hand up and shout. All right, so I have a shout out here. It's actually from a fan of Real Life Radio, and she sent us an email. So this is not a 5-star iTunes review or a Stitcher review, but we are still accepting those. So please go to the website or the show notes of this episode, and you'll see how to leave a review on iTunes or Stitcher.
Why do we want to do that, Jeb?
Because it helps our ranking in iTunes and Stitcher, and more people see the show. Therefore, we help more people with their English fluency.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so this shout-out was from Julia Kalinkina. Unfortunately, not too sure where she's from, but she wrote, "Hi, guys. You're doing an awesome job. I've been listening to your podcast now for the last month, and now I understand almost 90%. First time, I couldn't understand anything. Cheers, Julia."
Wow, thanks a lot, Julia.
Yeah, it's good to know that she's getting a lot of benefit from the podcast. Seems like it's really helped her listening comprehension.
Went from 0 to 90 in just 1 month. It's an impressive statistic.
Amazing things start happening when you start believing in yourself, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when you make a habit of listening to English every day.
Yeah. I wonder if she did listen to a podcast every day.
For a month,
yeah. Well, Julia, if you're listening, thank you so much for that little message. It really does make us feel all warm and fuzzy inside to know that we're helping people with their English. And yeah, if you guys want to leave us a message too, feel free. Again, at the show notes of this podcast, which will be reallifeglobal.com/American sports. All right, so let's move on from today's shout-outs and move right in to today's kick
ass
quote.
Oh, yeah. I'm kick ass. So, quote master Justin, what special inspirational message do you have for us today from probably some famous person who said something a long time ago?
Okay, so this is actually, it's a quote from a football player named Archie Griffin, 2-time Heisman winner. What's the Heisman, Ethan?
The trophy you get at the Super Bowl?
No, Ethan, come on, man. You're a horrible football fan. It's the best college football player award.
Okay, that's right. Okay.
And so in the United States, like, college football is a pretty big deal, right? Yeah. We went to CU, University of Colorado. I went there. The Buffs, yeah.
What are the Buffs?
Buffalo. Okay. So our mascot at CU, at the University of Colorado, is the Buffalo.
Okay, what's a mascot?
A mascot is like a... it's like generally an animal or some sort of character that is the representation of your team.
It's okay. Like Meru is a real-life English mascot.
Okay.
Yeah. It's very common in American sports to have a team mascot.
Mm-hmm.
Some dude that dresses up in like a costume.
Okay.
As well.
So yeah, college football is really big in the United States, and this is from the best player 2 years in a row, a long time ago. It's not the size of the dog in the fight, but the size of the fight in the dog.
You talking about Rob Dog?
So, you want to break that down, Ethan? Mr. V?
So, could you repeat it real quick?
It's not the size of the dog in the fight, but the size of the fight in the dog.
Okay, so it's kind of saying that, like, the size and the natural skill of someone, or an animal, maybe in this case, isn't really what determines whether or not they're going to win or be successful, but more how badly they want it, how much they're willing to fight for it.
Their determination.
Exactly.
Their toughness.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's a similar expression to that. It's not the size of the dog, it's the bark. Isn't there an expression like that, too?
No, that's his bark is worse than his bite.
Oh, yeah, his bark is worse than his bite.
It's got kind of a different meaning.
Yeah, it's not relevant at all.
No.
Sorry. Let's move on with your quote, though. That was pretty cool.
But I will note, this is actually, I just discovered, not by Archie Griffin. Archie Griffin, the 2-time Heisman winner, plagiarized Mark Twain. Mark Twain is a great American writer.
Okay. Plagiarized? What does that mean?
To steal the words of.
Okay. But when did you just realize that? Like, did you just realize that now? Like, looking at it online, or...
Yeah, I googled the quote.
Okay.
And I looked at the Google images.
Okay. How can we relate that to our listeners' English learning journey?
I think it might have something to do with, like, the growth mindset versus the fixed mindset, right?
Okay. We talked about a couple episodes ago.
Yeah.
Okay. So how would you kind of, like, explain that expression, but using a language learner as the example?
So it's not like the set of skills or your... or the circumstances that you were given, it's what you do with it, right?
Exactly.
It's really, you have the responsibility. You have the opportunity to learn.
Because a lot of people like to make the excuse, I'm just not a good language learner. I don't have a talent for it. And they kind of use that to claim defeat before they've even tried. But really, it's the person who wants it the most who's going to be the most successful, who's going to become the most fluent. So just because you don't have a natural talent for it doesn't mean you can't be great.
Yeah, so how big is your fight?
And so, are you a dog? Okay, that's cool. That was another kick-ass quote. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Remember, if you guys want one of your quotes, maybe not your quote, but a quote that you have heard before on the podcast, let us know. And if it's good enough, it could appear in an upcoming episode of Real Life Radio.
Where could they send that?
They could send that to fluencyteam@reallifeglobal.com. That's fluencyteam@reallifeglobal.com. And don't forget, there's no I in fluency team.
That's actually kind of a cliche in sports. There's no I in team.
What does that mean?
It's kind of like, well, don't be selfish.
You have to be a team player, right?
Yeah. It's like when you're on a team, you can't just always think about yourself.
So let's move on from today's kick-ass quote and jump in to today's conversation topic.
What you talking about? All right, guys. I think we're going to hit this one out of the park today.
What does that mean?
Hit it out of the park? Let's see if the Australian knows.
Well, man, you just said an expression straight off the bat.
Straight off the bat? Okay. You know that one, right?
Yeah, I do know that one. I just said it.
To hit it out of the park? What does that mean?
So to hit it out of the park means, I guess it is a baseball term, like if you hit a home run, I believe. So if someone pitches the ball and you smack it and it goes out into the stadium, that means the person
can't retrieve the ball, right? Yeah, the baseball field is called the park.
Okay.
So you hit it outside of the park, it just means you hit it so far it's a home run.
Mm-hmm. And as a metaphor, what does that mean? Metaphorically, we're going to hit it out of the park.
It just means that you're really successful in an act or an effort of some sort.
Do a great job on something.
Yeah. Straight off the bat?
It just means like straight away, immediately. Straight off the bat, you taught our listeners an expression. First thing you said was an expression. It was straight off the bat. Mm-hmm. I guess that's a baseball term as well, would you say? Who knows where that one came from? There are many sports that have bats, right?
Are there?
The only important one, though, is baseball.
You have baseball, you have cricket bat, mm-hmm. a hockey bat. Do you say a hockey stick?
Hockey stick.
A hockey stick, yeah. But obviously, Batman, maybe. Could be a mascot for one of the teams, maybe. Batman.
It's kind of a different bat, though.
Yeah, it is.
So what is a bat?
It's not
the animal, though.
I know. Yeah, okay. A bat would be, it's kind of like a stick, but it usually has a handle, and it's just used to hit a ball.
Mm-hmm. In opposition to the glove. The glove is what you use to catch the ball with.
Mm-hmm. In baseball.
Yeah.
Okay. Because gloves, obviously, you also use them when it's cold outside.
Yep.
Or for boxing.
Or in the kitchen when you have to take something hot out of the oven.
Oh, I don't call them gloves, though. I call them mitts.
Oh, yeah, you're right. It is a mitt.
Oven mitts.
Oven glove. No, oven mitt.
Oven glove sounds strange, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah. Okay.
That was a curveball.
A curveball? What's a curveball?
Something I wasn't expecting. I wasn't expecting us to talk about mitts.
Oven mitts.
And gloves.
That was a bit of a curveball. Yeah, what does that mean if you said that was a curveball?
Or throw a curveball.
This is another baseball metaphor. When something comes to you that's unexpected, mm-hmm. or when they throw you a curveball, Ethan threw me a curveball, we're talking about something and he presents a topic that I totally wasn't expecting.
Kind of like a non sequitur.
What? What's that?
It's something that doesn't pertain to the topic at hand.
Exactly. Come on, Ethan, keep your eye on the ball.
Oh, keep your eye on the ball.
Just pulling them out of strange places.
Left field?
You're just pulling them out of left field.
What do you mean by pulling them out of left field?
Wait, guys, let's just take a timeout. I'm not really understanding all these baseball expressions. Could we just...
Can you explain what timeout means first?
So timeout would be to take a break.
Take a pause.
Take a pause. It's often used in sports when the players want to rest for a little while, so they call for a timeout, and they generally make a T-shape with their hands.
Kind of re-strategize.
Take
a pause or re-strategize.
Yeah, so let's just go back a few. You said curveball when something is unexpected. You didn't expect that. He threw a curveball. Then you said what, Justin?
Keep your eye on the ball.
To keep your eye on the ball. What does that mean?
Stay focused.
Yeah, so when you have the bat in your hand and the pitcher, the person throwing the ball in the baseball game, he's throwing the ball to you, to keep your eye on the ball means to stay focused because you have to hit the ball.
Okay.
And if you don't keep your eye on the ball, then of course you strike out.
Of course.
You don't even get the chance.
We could use this a lot in other situations in life. Like, Justin's a guy who can really keep his eye on the ball. It means Justin is just very good at staying focused.
But we often use it in a situation where we got to keep our eye on the ball and just reminding ourselves to stay focused.
Yeah.
And then, what did Ethan say? Something about left field?
You're really just pulling those expressions out of left field.
What does left field mean? Have you heard that before, Chad?
I've heard it, but I can't really remember what it means right now. Out of nowhere?
Yeah, it just means, like, really out there.
Yeah, okay. Oh, it means it's really out there. Okay, I got it now. That is a common experience. That's really out there.
Mm-hmm. It just means it's far away from what you'd expect.
Exactly, yeah. The concept itself is not so common.
Okay, the English language is full of idioms, baseball especially, and other sports as well. But I'm going to introduce you guys to a set of metaphors, which is a little bit out of left field, but it's important to know these are sex metaphors to deal with baseball and the bases.
Well, whoa, Justin, this is kind of a whole new ball game.
It is. We don't want to offend some people, so...
Wait. A whole new ball game? What do you mean by that, Mr. V?
Something completely different, unexpected.
Okay.
Unique.
But we told you guys that we're going to swing for the fences today.
What do you mean by swing for the fences?
Swing for the fences, well, in baseball, it's sort of like to hit one out of the park.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You hit it, the pitcher throws it at you, and you swing the bat, and you hit the ball really far.
Just means you're trying your hardest to hit a home run.
Yeah, because the fences are like the limits of the ballpark.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The limits of the field. So if you hit it over the fence, it's a home run.
Mm-hmm.
So we say swing for the fences, it means we really, really try to hit a home run. We swing our hardest.
Awesome.
To have a successful try.
Okay, cool. So, what are these expressions that are out of left field?
So you have home plate, and then you have three bases. And in baseball, the goal is to get to to go all the way around the bases and make it back home. And depending how hard you hit the ball, and like how far away you can get it without someone catching it, and how much time it takes for them to throw the ball back to home, is how far you're going to be able to make it. So if you hit a home run, for example, you're going to hit out of the park. No one's going to be able to get the ball, so you'll be able to make it all the way around the diamond.
So your objective is to hit the ball and run from first to second to third base, and then
back
to
home
base.
Back home, yeah.
Okay, then you get a point.
You get a point for each person that goes through home base.
It's called a run in baseball.
Exactly.
A run, okay.
And we use this as a metaphor because, like, the further, the better your hit, the better your attempt, potentially the further that you can get.
Yeah, right? So if you hit, like, the ball into left field, for example, normally if it's not a great hit, but it's a good hit, right?
Mm-hmm.
You get to first base.
Yeah.
You don't score a run or a point.
We call it a single, right?
Yep.
And if you throw, if you hit a little bit better, you might make a double, so that means you get to second base.
Uh-huh.
And then a triple if you get to third.
Yeah, so these are actually metaphors for different sexual destinations.
Sexual destinations. Well, I've gone on a holiday.
I think it's more like how well that you do.
The different bases mean different things as far as like romantic relationships and sexual activity. Okay, so this is like open to interpretation. I mean, there's some different versions of this.
Hey, Justin, man, just cut to the chase.
What do you mean about cut to the chase?
Cut to the chase is like get to the point. It seems like you're
dilly-dallying.
Dilly-dallying. People want to know what the sexual innuendos are for baseball. I'm dying to hear.
Okay, so first base, maybe this is universal. I don't know. Maybe in some conservative countries it's not, but it's like kissing. This is what I grew up learning.
Okay, well, this is coming from American culture.
This is what Justin grew up learning.
Huh?
Yeah, but I think Ethan was saying in the outside of the studio when we were planning this, he said it means something else.
No, it can be like some people might say different things. Some people might say first base is kissing. Some people might even say that there's some touching going on above the waist. But some people might say that doesn't come until second base.
Okay, this is promiscuous Colorado.
Hey, you went to school there.
Okay, so let me just get it straight. First base, I think I've heard people say, I got to first base, I got to second base. That means he achieved
a kiss.
A kiss,
yeah.
From a girl.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
A girl could say it too, I suppose.
Okay.
I don't know if girls use this as much as guys.
It's not, what I mean is because baseball's a more popular sport with guys. But it's true. A girl could say
But girls play softball. Second base, above the waist touching.
Okay, so it'd be like if a man was to maybe touch a girl's boob.
Possibly.
What's a boob?
A boob would be a bosom.
Uh-huh. What's a bosom?
A breast.
Would be a breast, yes.
Okay.
Titties.
Like a chicken breast.
Like a chicken breast, just from a female human.
So in baseball, we call that a double, right?
Okay.
But this is second base. Okay. So second base.
Do you think they say second base double because you have to touch both boobs?
I've never heard that before, but in Australia, maybe they have a different interpretation. Okay, third base, enlighten us, Mr. V.
So that would be just moving down the anatomy, touching below the waist.
Okay.
And then what would be the big finale if you were to hit a home run?
What do you mean finale?
Big finale, the big ending. So if you hit a home run, the big finale, what would that be, Justin?
It's sexual intercourse. I mean, I think you wrote an article about 40 ways to say sex or something. Is that correct? So maybe you can enlighten us with some of those terms.
I think that'd be for another episode of Real Life Radio.
Okay. Well, how about if you guys want to learn more about sexual terms and innuendos?
Check out the show notes.
Check out the show notes. We'll link Ethan's article in there. You guys can check it out.
And if you don't, we completely respect that.
Yeah.
We're trying to keep this G-rated because I know we have some 4-year-old listeners.
Yeah, as we discovered a few weeks ago. Okay, so you guys just enlighten me with some cool expressions related to baseball, American baseball. I guess all baseball is American, right?
It's really popular in Latin America, Chad. How culturally insensitive you are.
Japan, too.
Japan.
Well, we had baseball in Australia, but it just kind of died out. Nobody liked it. And it was invented by Babe Ruth, right?
No? Babe Ruth is just one of the most famous players ever.
Okay.
He's a legend, you could say.
Okay, he's a legend. He didn't invent the game, though.
No.
It's like saying soccer was invented by Pele.
Oh, it was invented by Maradona, right?
Exactly.
Okay, so that was a very enlightening conversation. A lot of cool expressions related to baseball. Didn't realize that there's some sexual expressions there too.
Yeah. Chad, thanks for taking one for the team today and, you know, hearing us out about our American sports.
What does that mean, to take one for the team?
Take one for the team just kind of means that you sacrifice something for the greater good of the group.
Okay, I sacrifice my ears.
Mm-hmm.
By listening to you guys talking about baseball.
You're very patient.
I was very patient, yeah. Maybe one day we can talk about some Australian football.
Is that really a thing?
It's a thing. It's a thing in Australia.
Is it just like, you know, something like football but kangaroos playing?
Yeah, that's pretty much it, yeah. We actually play football against kangaroos.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Gotta catch a game sometime.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. I mean, they put the football in their pouch,
mm-hmm.
and they just jump around the field.
And then the men wear like pouches on their uniforms, right?
Yeah.
And you can, I guess the kangaroos are quite good at boxing too. They're a very versatile animal.
They are. We box and play football together with kangaroos.
With a boomerang.
Well, that's it for today's conversation topic about baseball. Did you guys ever play baseball?
Little League, a little bit.
What is Little League?
Little League is like the children's league, children teams. And maybe some stickball when I was really little.
Stickball?
Yeah.
What's stickball?
No, not stickball. What is it called? T-ball.
T-ball? Okay. Well, but is stickball another sexual thing from...
No.
Stickball is when you play it like informally. You get a stick... And somebody throws the ball and you hit it with a stick.
Okay.
This is what my dad used to play in the streets of the Bronx in New York when he was a kid.
Okay.
Because they didn't have money for bats.
Okay.
So they just pick up a stick.
That's old school.
It is old school.
It's cool. All right, guys. So that is today's conversation topic about baseball and some colloquial expressions and kind of metaphors that go along with the sport. Hope you guys enjoyed it. And let's move on to today's killer clip.
So today's killer clip comes from an American classic called The Sandlot. It came out in 1993. So it's kind of, you know, have fond memories of this movie when I was growing up. It's all about kids playing baseball and kind of just like coming of age movie.
Hmm. Coming of age?
Coming of age is kind of like a movie about when you're growing up and kind of learning some lessons that you learn when you're young. So it's a really great movie when you're a kid. Like, you can totally relate to it, a lot of things going on. And this is actually a scene that we were just watching, and we decided to play it because it kind of gives like a view into American culture. Mm-hmm. We saw this because Chad was quite confused.
Yeah, it seems like it's a common thing in the United States. As kids, maybe they bond through baseball. Is that what they do? It seems like they hang out with each other.
What does bond mean?
To bond is to connect, become friends with, to bond, have cherished moments together.
Cherished?
Cherished means that you are really fond of those memories.
It's fond?
Very enjoyable memories.
Something you value, right?
It gives a lot of value.
When you cherish something, you really value something.
Exactly. Exactly. So let's just get on with the clip. Okay, so do you want to just maybe prepare them a little bit for the scene? Just give us some vocabulary so they know what they're going to listen out for?
Well, first of all, the context of it, they're in a like treehouse, right?
What's a treehouse?
Treehouse is like some place where a kid usually hangs out with their friends. Sometimes it's a fort.
Mm-hmm.
Something they build, maybe?
In a tree.
Yep.
Usually.
Yep.
Did you have a treehouse when you were growing up?
I did. Yeah. It's at night. And so they're kind of doing like a little camp out, right?
Yeah. They're having a very typical American treat that we have when we go camping. What is that?
S'mores.
Some more what? So the whole joke here is that the treat is called s'mores, which is short for, it's like a contraction for some more.
So what does s'mores have?
So s'mores has graham cracker, which is like a type of cookie, kind of, chocolate, and marshmallow, which can be shortened to mellow.
Okay, and so
I heard him say roast.
So you roast marshmallows over a campfire. So it's kind of like you hold them over the campfire until they turn gold, or some people just straight up burn them until they turn black.
They get all soft and mushy, right?
Yeah, they melt, right?
Okay. Side note here, I recently realized that marshmallows aren't vegetarian thanks to Ethan after he saw me stuffing my face.
Stuff in your face, what does that mean?
Yeah, it means I was eating a lot of them at once.
And one of the kids in this scene actually says, stuff it.
Exactly.
So, marshmallows are made from gelatin, which is not vegetarian.
Okay. We live and we learn, don't we?
Yeah. So what else does he say in here?
You're killing me.
You're killing me, Smalls.
You're killing me, Smalls. Who's Smalls is the name of the kid?
It's his nickname.
Okay.
It's because he's a little guy.
Okay.
Did they call you Smalls when you were a kid?
No. But I could relate to that.
Okay. What does it mean by, you're killing me?
So you're killing me is like, it's because this kid doesn't know anything. So he's kind of like, you're killing me. Like, I don't understand you. I can't believe you.
Because he's not kind of getting the joke, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
You're killing me. I can't believe you.
Okay, cool. All right, so let's go ahead and listen to this killer clip.
And then she made me do the dishes.
Oh, your poor little mommy made you do the big fat dishes.
Hey, you want a s'more? S'more what?
No, you want a s'more.
I haven't had anything yet, so how can I have some more of nothing?
Shut up! You're killing me, Smalls.
All right, who cut what?
These are s'more stuff. Okay, pay attention. First, you take the graham. You stick the chocolate on the graham. Then you roast the mallow.
No, it's my sleeping bag.
When the mallow's flaming,
it's like a yellow stain.
You stick it on the chocolate.
You set the place then on fire, Ham.
You cover it with the other end.
Here, make me one of those.
Yeah, me too.
Then you scuff.
I don't like that chocolate.
All right, that was actually looks like a pretty nice thing to eat. The s'mores.
It's a pretty sweet treat.
Have you guys tried it?
Have. Always when we went camping.
Heck yeah.
It's a camping thing? It's always camping?
Very typical for camping, because you roast the marshmallows over a campfire.
Okay. So that means that now that we are all vegetarian, no more s'mores. Never going to have that again.
Never going to have that again.
Damn.
It's okay. I can live without it. I'm not a kid anymore.
Really? Okay. Cool.
But the basic confusion here is what like a lot of English learners might have between s'more and some more.
Okay.
Especially because he says, do you want a s'more?
Do you want a s'more?
Yeah.
A lot of connected speech in that.
And Smalls understands it as, do you want some more?
Okay. You want to just repeat both phrases again?
Do you want a s'more?
So you want a s'more?
Do you want a s'more?
Uh-huh.
And what he's confusing it with is, do you want some more?
Some more what?
Some more of anything.
You're killing me, Ethan. So yeah, if you guys want to check that movie out, even though it's kind of directed at kids, I think it's a pretty fun movie to watch. I'd probably still watch it.
It's great to practice your English.
It is great.
Understand American culture?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's good insight into the culture for sure. That brings us to the end of this episode of Real Life Radio. So today we're going to play you out with a song by a guy who actually lives in Seattle, which is near where Justin is from. And I believe you guys maybe even share the same baseball team. Am I right?
Yeah, it's Seattle Mariners.
Seattle Mariners? What's a mariner?
Mariner is like a...
sailor?
A sailor, yeah.
I don't know what a mariner is.
I thought it was a fish.
No, it's a sailor.
Okay, a sailor.
Anyway, so the song by Macklemore, he's actually singing about a very special moment in the history of my team. In 1995, the Mariners, they won the division, and they had a really special season where they came from really far behind the last month, and they won almost every game to win the division and save the team, which is about to be moved to another city.
Oh, wow.
And so that final play... one of the best players on the team, Edgar Martinez, is from Puerto Rico. Hit a double down the left field line. And Ken Griffey Jr., who's like one of the best players ever in the game,
mm-hmm.
who's in the Hall of Fame.
Okay.
Just like where the best players are selected to the Hall of Fame.
Okay.
He scores the winning run. In that last moment, everybody jumps on him and celebrates it.
Awesome.
And the whole city was just going crazy.
Awesome.
So it's one of the best moments in Seattle's history.
That's awesome. And that is what this song is all about. So, like always, try to check out the lyrics. The lyrics are at the bottom of the show notes. Just remember one more time, if you're not on the website, you can see that www.reallifeglobal.com/American Sports. Oh, yeah. Like always, thanks for listening, and we'll see you guys next week on Real Life Radio. Joy Corps round third. Here comes Griffey. The throw to the place, not in time. My oh my, the Mariners win it. Yes, fireworks, they lit up that ceiling in the King Dome. We had just made history. Line up, left field line for a base hit. Here comes Joy. Here is Junior at third base. They're going to wave him in. The throw to the plate will be late. The Mariners are going to play for the American League Championship. And woven, barely holding that stitch. Creases of time amongst the grime and the grit. Weathered leather, used to pound his fist. To some it's just a mitt, but see that glove was him. Yep, tell me stories on the field with that sun-stained brim. Blood under my chin, he taught me how to spit. Sunflower seeds back with me and my crew. Sunburnt arms, big league shoe. Yeah, we were like the sandlot after dinner. After practice we listened to the M's in the kitchen. And if mom wasn't tripping, come on dad. Please, I swear this one more inning. Voice would pump, pump through the system. Break out the rye bread. It's grand salami time, my oh my. Another victory, yes. My city, childhood, my life. Watching Griffey right under those lights. That light rain beaming in that night game. Can't stop now, keep moving, no break pads. Came here to prove a point, live my life on the field, make history in between the base pad, and compete against the fear that is in me. That's my only barrier, and I swear that I'ma break that. From the mud, the cleats that we drug through defeat, this is that moment and you cannot take it back. And I don't really collect cards anymore, just a box and some old cardboard. Memories embedded in the dust, and the fibers that age just like us, living somewhere off in a drawer.
This is what she make of it. Yeah, we play to win. Live it like we're under the lights of the stadium. Fight until the day that God decides to wave us in. Right until he waves us in. It's my city, childhood, my life. That's right, under those lights. My city, childhood. That's right, me house. My oh my, come on. My city, childhood, my life. That's right, under those lights. It's my city, childhood, my life. Me house, my oh my. Rest in peace.